Track 8 and Letters to the Editor. Backfilling the Holes. From Mark Wooding, Liberal Democrat, prospective parliamentary candidate for Central Devon. And he writes, how many potholes does it take to fill Westminster Hall? So, the Conservative government have deployed yet again one of their favourite tricks, rolling up a decade's worth of theoretical spending and publishing a big number they hope people will think is new expenditure. The much publicised figure of £8.3 billion to be spent on road resurfacing is projected expenditure over the next 11 years. Setting to one side the issue as to whether the Conservatives are likely to be in power that long and have to make good on this promise, it of course represents only £755 million each year. We are told the South West share of that will be £25.5 million, split across at least five local authorities, which means a mere £5.1 million for Devon. And Devon Highways are on record as saying that £167 million needs to be spent now on bringing our roads from a red state to an amber state, forgetting getting to green. So that £5.1 million is not going to go very far. One Lib Dem councillor has been told that an A road in his division, one of Devon's arterial roads, will not be resurfaced until 2025. Yep, you heard that correctly, 2025. Many councillors are now running petitions to try and get urgent road repairs made in their wards. Conservative-controlled Devon County seems to be deaf to the pleas from its own residents. Prime Minister Sunak is on record as boasting these repairs will save drivers £440 each in repairs to vehicles, and this will help with the cost of living crisis. Yes, really. RAC estimates that there is a £12 billion backlog of repairs now. So £8.3 billion over 11 years, even if it does happen, does not fix the problem. We call upon the government to get out of their ministerial limos and get serious about our country's transport infrastructure, especially here in rural Devon, where there aren't alternatives to driving. We need our roads to be brought up to scratch.
Talking rubbish. Councillor Phil Bullivant writes, often people complain that councillors are guilty of talking rubbish. It's a fact, they do. In my case, as a member of an oversight committee at Devon, we were literally talking rubbish. A key role for councils, both district and county, is the collection and disposal of household waste. District councils have the responsibility to collect waste, and Devon County Council has the responsibility for the disposal of waste. For most district councils, and certainly in the case of Tinbridge, the cost of collecting waste is greater than the total amount collected through council tax. In fact, the cost of collection exceeds £11 million, whilst the council tax raises just over £9 million. So how efficient we are and how we treat waste is important and affects every household. The recycling of waste generates an income which is shared between both county and district, but this is insufficient to cover the gap between revenue and income. To understand what happens with waste, Devon regularly carries out analysis of what is being collected through the black bins to see what potentially could be achieved through better understanding of the contents people are putting into their black bins. The latest research took 1,800 black bin contents from various locations across the county and identified some disturbing facts. Recycling rates in Tinbridge have declined slightly over the past few years and currently stand at about 54% of all waste. The black bins represent the balance and is sent to waste energy plants to convert into power, with almost nothing going to landfill. When the contents of these black bins were analysed, the contents were dominated with food waste, the majority of that food waste being still in its packaging and unopened. The issue is this, is that this waste is not fuel efficient and lowers the calorific value of the waste, thus generating less energy. Plus, the waste, if put in the food waste container provided to every household, was collected part of the recycling programme, would be used in anaerobic digesters, which does generate the gas used in power generation and compost. The other issue at the time of concern over the cost of living is that 28% of waste is food thrown away still in its original packaging, and this, if used, could have provided meals. So, in Talking Rubbish, key questions were raised. What can we do to increase household waste separation, to increase the amount sent to recycling, so that we provide better security for our environment and generate more income to help keep council taxes down? How can we help people reduce their food waste? Ideas discussed included increased education for consumers, making people aware that supermarkets are designed to maximise sales and that bog-off deals are expensive if the additional items are not used. Encourage buyers to buy what they need and avoid items not on a shopping list. Use freezers to save cooked food for later use. And finally, increase awareness of the recycling programme and how people can contribute.
Lack of childcare provision will increase. Lynn Nichols of Lower Drive Dawlish writes, at the recent TDC Planning Committee meeting, two planning applications were approved for circa 300 houses at Gatehouse Farm, Dawlish. Although various concerns relating to the development were expressed, I do not recall anyone at the meeting saying anything about the present lack of childcare provision for 0 to 4 years old. Within Dawlish and the Gatehouse part of town in particular, and how this further increase in housing numbers will only serve to increase demand. It was about 10 years ago when the DA2 site, which includes Gatehouse Farm, Sekmaton Farm and the Persimmon development, was first identified for new housing. At the same time, it was also planned that there should be a multi-purpose building sited somewhere within DA2, specifically for health and early years children facilities. However, in 2016, this proposed building was removed from the DA2 development plan. Unfortunately, the children's nursery based at the farmhouse ceased operating in 2019, and the service it provided has never been replaced. Ergo, no children's nursery in a part of town that has had, is having, and will have hundreds of new homes with the accompanying numbers of young families in need of childcare. I fear that because the original multi-purpose health and early years children's building was taken out of the development plans in 2016, that no such building now has to be constructed. So we presently find ourselves with the development of hundreds of new homes, but with no corresponding childcare infrastructure. I note, however, that the Gatehouse Farm development has land within it identified for employment purposes. Listen up, TDC planners, because here's a question for you. Is there any possibility that an early years children's facility could be sited on that land?
And that concludes the letters to the editor.